Hello, loves, and welcome to the Sexual Priestess Sessions with Jennifer Posada. Always remember, you can find out more at orgasmicwoman.com, and the rewards for this project are for everyone of every gender. Welcome, everybody. This Sexual Priestess Session is entitled, Your Turn-On is Your Lighthouse. And I have to say, cheers for that. And I am cheersing myself and all of you listening as soon as this is released, and all of you listening over time, with one of my three beverage options I've brought with me. I've got a hot tea, a cold tea, some really good water, and I hope that if you are listening to this in one spot, or even if you're on the go, if there's anything that you've been able to do to make this moment better for you, whether it's getting a window seat on the bus, or maybe you prefer an aisle seat, or whether it's really getting into your most cushy space in your home, lighting a candle and having three beverage options like me. Whenever you have the chance to do that, fantastic. But know that there's no wrong way to listen to this. So I know the power of how important it can be just to get yourself in touch with the material. I remember listening to many things while on the elliptical machine at the gym back when I was a member there, because like that was my moment, you know, and I didn't have a candle lit and nothing like that. In any case, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so excited to talk about why your turn-on is your lighthouse. And some of you hearing that probably right away think, oh yeah, that's right. Why is that right? I don't know. Or, oh, I feel it. Or, oh, I know why it's right. And some of you are thinking, I don't know. Sometimes it's not my lighthouse, which is valid too. But I'm going to talk about why I'm saying your turn-on is your lighthouse. So if you want, we can start the way we usually do, with just a few moments of breathing in any way that feels good to you. It's literally just a chance to take a few breaths that are all your own, not that your others are not, and that you can take at whatever pace feels most right now. Yeah, and if you want, you can finish that off with a self-love sigh. And what that means is just allowing an exhale, an audible exhale at the end of one of those breaths if you want to. There is great power, and can be great power, in just asking yourself how it feels good to breathe, or how it feels good to sit, or how it feels good to be in any given situation. But it's not something we were usually taught. We were taught to work around our circumstances and just deal with it. We were taught to sit still in school and set aside any other urges that we had. So that's a whole other discussion, something I talk about frequently, how to unlearn that, and how to find ways, without it feeling like work, however, to make, well, to notice what actually feels good or right to you, and to find places where you can make big changes in your life, but also these micro adjustments that simply make the moments better. So I feel like I could get into that for a lot more than the length of even this whole session. But I think it's time to dive into why your turn-on is your lighthouse. And if you want to hear me talk about all that other stuff for a really long time, I've got lots of online courses available where I go deep into why and how that really changes your life and how it's changed mine. But this is right in alignment with that. Your turn-on is your lighthouse. How come? So your turn-on Yes, I am talking about when you feel sexually excited and you might feel like blood flow to your genitals and you feel like really like aroused in the way that you might think of when you think of turn on. I'm also talking about what lights you up in your life in any way. And this is where the real signature comes through, because the thing is that we can get turned on by things that don't necessarily soul satisfy us. And that doesn't make those things bad or wrong. But when the combination of being turned on and being lit up also in this really deeply nourishing way come together, wow, we are talking about some of the most amazing magic that there is. And that kind of magic is what we were designed to experience. And the split has only occurred as a result of essentially the trauma and the long-time historical trauma on this earth of what I call the Great Forgetting. You can read about that in my book, The Oracle Within. But I'm sure it's a little bit self-explanatory, the Great Forgetting. Very long period of time where humanity has been generally in touch with remembering the truth of who we all are, this love that we are, that is our nature and our essence. So it's okay that there are turn-ons that don't light you up in that deep, beautiful way. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I want to really focus on the lighthouse turn-ons, which are the ones that are aligned that way. Now, you might be thinking, oh God, now I have to weed out which turn-ons are like that and which ones aren't, and oh my gosh, more work, and can't I just follow my animal body, as I like to call it? And yeah, this isn't a job where you have to like pull things apart and pick and choose and second guess and all of that. This is just getting to know your animal body better. And in doing so, also your deepest knowing and wisdom that many people would refer to more as spiritual knowing or spiritual wisdom. So to the sexual priestess, this animal body instinct and knowing in its truest form is exactly this soul knowing. They are completely, deeply one. And again, the only thing that's made them seem separate, different, at odds, and made us not trust that deeper level instinct of the body is the trauma that we've been through, perhaps in our lives, and since, you know, I don't know, nearly everyone on the planet has experienced some, right? And also historically, over a very long period of time on the earth. So again, some part of the group here might be thinking, oh God, more work with pain and trauma. Well, I mean, first of all, that, you know, tends to come up, right, in this journey. So we might as well have the really awesome tools to navigate it with as much support and illumination as possible. And knowing that your turn-on in your light is your lighthouse is a really big part of that. So let me back up a little bit. In the last couple of sexual priestess sessions, I talked about turn-ons in specifically in the session about sexual sovereignty. And ever since then, I've been feeling a small eek from part of the group thinking, wow, Jennifer, you really encouraged, you know, exploring your own inner terrain in terms of what turns you on and how taboo that can be and how, it can bring up a lot of danger ideas for people, especially when I'm talking about, well, what if you're turned on by another person, even though you're in a very clearly not just monogamous relationship, but relationship where feeling turned on by someone else or having your partner feel turned on by someone else is a total threat, like a complete potential upheaval of your entire life and entire relationship and everything the relationship stands on. This happens a lot, right? So some of you are like, oh, well, that's not my relationship. And then a whole bunch of you are like, oh, totally. Either if you yourself felt some turn on for someone else, or if your partner did, it would be hugely distressing for you. And there's Nothing wrong with that. So it can be a very scary, scary area, and I totally honor that. But I can feel how, you know, a couple things I wanted to say. First of all, in that session, I also talked about communication and being able to communicate desires or communicate turn-ons, and also that you don't always have to right away do that with a partner. You can explore your own turn-ons in some ways and see what it is that they want to show you, because they are guides. In your own kind of alchemy, and only you can decide when it feels like you've explored a lot and not revealed it and it feels out of alignment with your values. And that's, you know, a kind of a interesting area to, you know, kind of a blurry line to explore. And only you know when you feel like you've really reached the point where it doesn't feel authentic if you don't share what you've been exploring. But if we never, ever, ever give ourselves permission to explore a part of our own inner garden, because it's just not allowed ever under any circumstances, it can be quite unfortunate in terms of the beautiful resources that are there. But at the same time, no pressure like, oh, well, now you must go to every corner of your garden and just look at every fruit and eat from every tree. I mean, the only one who gets to decide what you do in your garden is you. And that was the point of the sexual sovereignty podcast, essentially. And yes, it can involve other people. And that's really important territory as well. But having said that, I wanted to mention, I noticed that in the last couple of sessions, I mean, I said that, for instance, the BDSM community in its most ethical form, practiced the way that it's designed to be practiced, if you really learn about BDSM, are incredibly good at boundaries and communicating where those boundaries are and learning to honor the boundaries of other people. And then I said that the polyamorous community, when practiced in a really ethical, honest way, really has a lot to share about communication, because they have to be able to communicate with multiple partners in a really upfront, honest way and work through material and feelings. So I wanted to say that it's important to me that we understand, I certainly have understood as a sexual priestess, that sexual communities have a lot to teach each other, that we can learn from sexual communities either by realizing we're a part of them. So some of you listening are like, thank God she said something about BDSM. Now I feel so much more included, or polyamory or whatever. And some of you might think, well, maybe I should read about one of those things. And then you realize, oh my gosh, that is kind of describing something about me or whatever. And those are just two different communities. There's so many, there's so much we can learn from each other if we don't feel so divided. And that doesn't mean you can't decide something doesn't fit for you or work for you. Absolutely. The more you know about what's right for you, even if that changes over time or doesn't, the better. But there's a lot for us to learn. And because sexuality is not talked about enough, we all know this. I mean, unless you have the most sex positive community, and I'm going to be talking about sexual community in a future podcast session, then, you know, the opportunities to share information about sexuality, unless you have, like, you know, 8 friends who are just constantly sharing about their sexual lives and their sexual feelings and thoughts and their relationships, we miss out on a lot that we would get from that kind of exchange. So again, I'll be revisiting that. All of this doesn't mean that I don't know that sharing a turn-on with a partner, for instance, excuse me, especially a turn-on that's even about someone sometimes in a movie, right? It's not that I don't understand that that can't create that kind of upheaval that I talked about. Ironically, I mean, sometimes even someone you weren't looking at or aren't interested in can create that kind of upheaval for a partner or for you in a partnership if you think your partner is interested. But if we can start inside with our own inner garden, feeling okay inside of you, that's what this sexual sovereignty is about what turns you on or lights you up, seeing what it wants to tell you, show you, or guide you to like a lighthouse. is really can be a quite amazing, phenomenal, incredible gift in this life. So imagine you were in your boat. You're being thrown here and there. At the time I'm recording this, it's right in the middle of a Venus retrograde, which can really have us reevaluating relationships. So if you're listening to this anytime near when it was recorded, this might really be speaking to you. You may be tossed around in your boat. And yes, sometimes it really helps to talk this through with the person you're in relationship with. I'm totally behind that, right? And sometimes you and your boat and your oars and the light that you feel guided by, that moment, that exchange, you in your own garden, seeing what's there at night with your bare feet, your toes kind of squishing the earth a little bit. Maybe you'll see this flower that only blooms at night in your garden that you didn't even know was there. And maybe it was inspired by something you saw in a movie, or by your walk in the woods, or by, you know, someone you met at the coffee shop. And for a moment, you started to explore what that could mean, you know? And if you're single and it doesn't matter, you know, it's okay for you to have that turn on or that moment, that spark that might guide you in some direction. But I do understand that in a partnership, in many partnerships, not all, right? Everyone many people have different agreements, but, or understandings, or have grown really, really comfortable with, say, their partner being gregarious and outgoing, and even what people would call flirtatious or whatever, or some relationships are open. But I've seen so many relationships where a partner's not even, I'm not kidding you, even allowed to hug someone beyond, it can't be a second too long because then the hug was too long. It can get so severe. Now, again, no judgment here. We end up in just the right kind of relationship situations. Sometimes in order to climb our way out, and sometimes in order to move through with a person into a new space. But this space inside you is the main focus in terms of your turn on being your lighthouse. And then as guidance grows inside of you, you may decide when or if or how this kind of exploration might be meant to be shared. Maybe it's great fuel for writing your erotica, you know? Maybe it ends up in your dream time or your painting. Maybe it ends up, it could end up in a lot of different places. In any case, start inside best you can, feeling okay inside of yourself about what turns you on or lights you up. Seeing what it wants to tell you, show you, or guide you to like a lighthouse. Just to repeat that. So turn-ons, I mentioned in that session on sexual sovereignty, you know, that you don't choose them, right? You don't control them. You can control a turn-on in terms of your reaction to it. You can keep yourself from walking across the room and just grabbing someone and kissing them, right? But how that feeling comes up in your body, and you can mitigate it and you can repress it to a certain degree, but that it came up at all, you know, you didn't like pick that off a menu usually, right? At the same time, I did mention sometimes we have turn-ons that are interwoven with trauma in our lives. And so we may have a turn-on that actually doesn't bring us joy. And not just because we may feel some shame about it that we've picked up along the way, but because we actually don't feel fulfilled afterwards. We feel empty after we follow a turn-on like that. So I mentioned deep work with trauma that I think can be helpful. I really like somatic work that includes the body. EMDR can be a phenomenal option that has to do with processing unprocessed memories, literally through the brain, in a way that would then allow these memories to be categorized differently and the turn-ons even categorized differently, freed up, if that makes sense. So with any of this, it's so important. I just always like to say to find a really great practitioner find somebody that you feel really good with and really safe with, no matter how many tries it might take, you know, or someone that a few friends really recommend. Having that kind of rapport is just so important. I myself, with health and other issues, have had to go through a lot of practitioners, and it's been worth it for me. So when turn-ons lead you to painful experiences, or it feels that way. So I've had people tell me that, like, hey, you know, my last time I was really turned on by somebody, the person ended up being really emotionally abusive, or, you know, like really just kind of the worst relationship, and yet I was so drawn to them. So this is the interesting thing about turn-ons or attractions, is that we will be compelled to whatever we need to be compelled to for our deeper soul purpose. So then you might be thinking, well, how can I trust my turn-on? What kind of lighthouse is that? Well, some of you are thinking, well, I guess that is a good lighthouse because it's drawing me to whatever material I most need to complete, you know, at that soul level. But at the same time, like, that's a little tricky. So while your soul is going to be helping you, I'm putting the quote marks around helping because I know sometimes it doesn't feel that way, to move toward the experiences that are challenging, but that are really important for your soul growth and healing. Consciously, which is a very important interweaving on this path, right? Along with the soul choices, these conscious choices, you can look toward what's lighting you up. What makes you feel, you know, almost giddy? What makes you almost want to smile before you can really control it or think about it? Now, I want to say very clearly, I know what it's like to experience long periods of time of traversing the underworld. Other people might call it dark night of the soul, right? Some of you have heard me say, I've experienced chronic pain, I've experienced trauma, a lot of stuff like that, right? I know that when you're down there, you're like, wow, Jennifer, that sounds really nice, but I don't have a lighthouse right now. Nothing's lighting me up. I don't have surprise smiles that just creep over my face because I feel so good about something. I understand that. And I really, in those cases, recommend giving yourself a permission to not have to try for that, to just let yourself be. If that feels good, like permission to not strive so hard to try to feel good and better, even if it's what you want, can be really relieving. It can be really permissive and like really nice. Another option is to just look for the things that soften the edges. They may not make your face light up, but they soften those edges, right? So working with wherever you are now, turn-ons may seem like a stretch, or turn-ons may feel abundant to you right now. But from wherever you are, I'd love to give us all a chance to spend a couple of minutes. If you have a pen and paper, you can do this on pen and paper. You could pause and get a pen and paper, or you can just do this in your mind if you don't have one, or if you prefer. And the idea here is that turn-on, it's literally, you know, how you look for signs from the universe. And sometimes we do that by actually going to, if we feel confident doing this, we'll go talk to our guides or get guidance. We might go to someone else to get a reading. We might, you know, pull from an oracle deck. We might look for signs in nature. That's one of my favorites. Or just signs that come up in your life, like synchronicities, etc. Turn-ons are signs. But because things around our sexuality can tend to be confusing, and we associate turn-on only with sexuality, which, by the way, of course, I am talking about that as well. To begin to learn, wow, what's this pointing me toward? And if you're turned on by like a person, but you're thinking, whether you're in a relationship or not, that that's not actually a person that you really want to like go be sexual with right that moment, for whatever reason, they can still represent something. They could still lead you somewhere. Let's say you think, those of you who've heard me say this before are going to laugh, but I always use the example of like someone cute at the office that you like or something, right? I don't even work in an office, right? But anyway, let's say someone like that. And what it compels you to want to do is say yes when they ask you to go have a cigarette with them on a break. Now I'm presuming that you smoke, and I know most of you are thinking, nope, and I definitely don't either, but you know what I'm saying. So let's just go with this. And you decide to say yes. And when you're out there, that person tells you something about a class they found out about or a trip they took to a place you've always wanted to go. And suddenly your synchronicity is there. You see that that web page you had open about that trip to that place that you've always wanted to go and you just opened it that morning, you see that there's a link there. So it can be scary because there are so many taboos around our sexual turn-on, so much so that when we get aroused by, for instance, being in nature, which can also feel very sexual or might feel less sexual depending, but even a less sexual turn-on starts to make us feel that, oh, am I getting aroused? Is there something wrong with that? We're pretty much designed to be aroused. It's just that it doesn't always have to feel genitally focused or necessarily focused on overt sexual acts, because certainly there are situations in life where we don't want to feel sexually turned on, where that's not where we're at or it wouldn't feel appropriate or right to our deep values, right? Or to what we want. But anyway, arousal is a gift and it can be a real signpost. And if we give ourselves permission to ask, I wonder what this is about. And sometimes you don't get the answer right away. You know, if you do intuitive journeying, you might do a journey about it or use some of your other methods to get some guidance about it, or it might come to you of its own accord, right? Some of them take longer to come to you. In any case, let's take a short journey just with this idea that turn on is a potential way home over and over again, a potential way back to ourselves, to more insight and guidance and wisdom. So the journey is, again, either on paper or just in your mind, what is lighting up for you right now? Imagine this idea of the lighthouse, which I also use as a metaphor for self-love and some other things. And imagine what's lighting you up. So maybe it is a person that when you see them, you do have the butterflies, or you do feel turned on, or you do feel like all the sexual arousal feelings. Maybe it's a project. Maybe it's a place you want to go. Maybe it's a new book you've been reading. Maybe for me right now, I can tell you spring is a big one on my list. Just the fact that it's spring and I'm watching all the leaf buds come out and the plants come out and I can feel the stirring. It's so, oh my God, I'm having the smile, you know? So anyway, I just wanted to give you an idea, you know, of how broad the range is. So just take a few moments and even write down, if you have them and if you want to, even just a few things. Okay, so keep in mind, you can pause this recording and you can do this as long as you'd like. And then for those of you who feel done and wrote down your couple of things, it's something you can explore at a later time, anytime you want. And this material will continue to support you on this journey, unfolding more and more deeply into what all this means for you, what it means for you as a sexual priestess or as a sexual mystic of any gender in any way, or someone who wants to support or be present for the sexual priestesses in their lives. In any case, I thank you all, as always, so much. This is just my true heart's love and desire, a very big turn on for me. Very, very big turn on for me. So thank you all for being part of my lighthouse then. And I can't wait to connect with you all next month. All right. Love to you all.